reading a few verses from the first chapter of Mark. It is written in the prophet Isaiah, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region, and preaching repentance and a baptism for the forgiveness of sin. And this is his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. Here's a strange troublemaker out in the wilderness, clearing up the master and upsetting the status quo. What does he think he's doing with his alarmist preaching of repentance and his idealistic notion of some coming religious messiah? Why does such a beautiful religious system work out with a hierarchy whose piety is beyond question? Why everybody's happy with the sacrifices and the feasts on the Sabbath, and the tradition of the elders has satisfied our ancestors for generations. And aside from all of that, there are these Romans running all over the place, a very delicate situation. Who is this baptizer who doesn't even know how to eat or dress to come along and upset the whole apple cart? So the congregation might well have gone in the area around the Jordan where John was baptized. Some remarkably similar questions today are being asked by increasing numbers among the Hispanic population of this country, a population that now numbers over 20 million. It's a segment of our population that is increasing by more than 600,000 every year for the last 18 months. It will constitute our nation's largest minority. In Texas, California, Florida, New York, Chicago, and other places where our church has begun Spanish missions, increasing numbers of Latins are asking, who are these strange people who call themselves Luteranos? What kind of strange new teaching are they spreading? Why do we have such a beautiful religious system worked out with a hierarchy who spells out for us exactly what we have to do in order to get into heaven? Everybody's happy with the occasional confession, the infrequent mass attendance, a confirmation ritual, a nice church wedding, a hope of favorite saints. It's a system that has satisfied our ancestors for generations. But now we move to the United States, only to find all these crazy Lutheranos running all around with some strange message about our work being filthy well. And that God looks at and demands a clean heart. What kind of strange new message are they spreading? And those ones they call vicars, now they're worst of all. What are these Lutherans think they're doing, upsetting the whole appetite? To the overwhelming majority of Hispanics now living in this country, the cardinal teachings of Lutheranism are indeed strange and alien. Almost all the incoming Latins have never even had the pure gospel preached to them. But I am saved solely by believing in the sacrifice and resurrection of Christ is a foreign to them, as their language and culture is to us. As in the days of John the Baptizer, the call of the gospel to repentance and faith must overcome a number of barriers among the Hispanics that would keep it fired out. One of these, of course, is the whole thing of saint worship. Even the Hispanic who never set foot in the church in his life probably venerate saints. Everywhere I went last year in Miami and Hialeah, where I served, and where the Latin population now constitutes the majority population, I saw huge elaborate church grounds in front of homes, saint statues and cars from a living room, businesses named after saints, images painted on serpents, even bumper stickers proclaiming love for some particular saint. The few of the saints there are San Lazaro, the great healer saint, performer of miracles, Santa Barbara, the saint of revenge, and La Virgen de la Caridad de Cobre, the Cuban version of the Mexican version of Guadalupe. And the whole thing was, it was one of the biggest things that Satan had created to fall out the gospel. But when I take forward with the message of forgiveness of sins in the blood of Christ, and the first question, the almost always receive is, today is your Ignatian and Santa, does your church believe in the saints? The answer that we give is often an instant turnoff to the gospel message that we bear. Another barrier is something called brujeria. I guess among the Mexicans it's termed porendera, which is a type of voodoo or witchcraft, very common in Spanish-speaking countries. A whole system of rituals and spells and practices, everything from something as seemingly innocent as putting special rose petals in your bath water to decapitated chickens stuffed with trinkets thrown up on a doorstep to a poison potion meant to kill one's enemy. And oftentimes the powers of various things are invoked to effect with voodoo magic. Yet another barrier, perhaps most damaging of all, is the popular belief that a halfway outwardly decent life and membership in some church and going through the motions of a few religious rituals is an instant ticket into heaven. Any notion of genuine commitment to Christ is so often just viewed as fanaticism. While we throw up our hands in holy horror and we say, Lord, I thank you that I am not not as one of these, to which the Lord replies, indeed. Well, we might not have a saint statue decorating our homes and in our cars or dormitory rooms, but we have a busy schedule and deadlines and those personal goals, which often turn us into external shells and those around us into cold stone statues to be invoked and displayed and used according to our purposes. We might not have the same kind of superstitious mind that gravitates towards brujeria or porendera, but we have our very pride that puffs up our self-opinion of who we are and what we're doing. A puffed up self-opinion that becomes just as empty and meaningless as any voodoo witchcraft spell or ritual. An exceptionally good paper written, an excellent lecture delivered, a fine athletic record, a high grade received, administrative accomplishment, an elected office, or what have you, that pulls us farther away from the proper ideal proclaimed by John in our text. There is coming one who is mightier than I, if I want his standards, I'm not worthy to unleash. Now, we might not stand on the future of stone, publicly parading our piety, but isn't it true that we often find ourselves falling into the attitude of, by gum, I'm going to spread the kingdom of Christ and do the work of ministry by my might and by the glory of my unique talents and gifts, instead of by the might of him who too late we are not worthy to unleash. As we look again, we realize that the differences between us and our Hispanic brothers are just merely external, but internally they're identical, even as that may manifest itself in different ways. I can think of such wonders. We do know the true and pure gospel of Christ, a self-centered gospel that created saving faith in our hearts, the precious gospel of Christ that each one of us daily and richly experience in total forgiveness. Our sins of pride, our petty jealousy, our puffed up self-ambition, our abuses of others. It's a gospel that daily bids us to by faith deny ourselves, drown the old man, and follow the Savior, making his cause great. It's a gospel of Christ, unfathered by pagan first generation, unmutilated by voodoo witchcraft, unperverted by human self-righteousness and going through the motions of religion. By God's grace alone. We recognize that we are a forgiven people with an unintended message. A message that almost all of Hispanic people in this country do not have. I think Bobby can identify with the Hispanics in one other way. For we, as the church in its youth, are an immigrant church. A recently arrived immigrant church at that. Familiar with all the economic struggle to survive in a strange new land, fiercely hanging on to a language and traditions of the old country. Up until the end of World War II, most of our churches still offered services in German. In fact, I understand that there are some around here who are still familiar with the language. An open door now stands before our church to reach out with the pure gospel to this latest group of new immigrants moving in all around us. Last summer, our Synod and Convention resolved to open 50 new Spanish churches within the next few years. Third Lord of the Harvest, that he would send forth willing laborers into this new expanding field to make his cause great. La nombre del Padre, del Hijo, y del Espíritu Santo.